you the press conference for Disney Pixar's Coco. It's very exciting to be here. To be talking about a film that celebrates Latin culture. And let's bring the people that made the film right to the stage. Starting with Lee Unkrich, the director, an Oscar winner. Then, yes. Alana Ubach, she voices Mama Imelda. Edward James Olmos, the Academy Award nominated actor who voices Chicharrón. Benjamin Bratt, the voice of Ernesto de la Cruz. Golden Globe winner Gael García Bernal, the voice of Hector. Anthony González, the voice of Little Miguel. Adrian Molina, writer and co-director. And Darla K. Anderson, producer. Welcome. Well, first of all, I would like to know how you guys feel, because yesterday the premiere was so amazing at the El Capitan Theater. It's such a celebration of Latino culture. And if you could just say how you're feeling right now that the movie's about to come out.
We're on cloud nine. I am.
I'm with her.
It was one of the most beautiful premieres ever, no? To be with those petals. I mean, come on, like, this is the opportunity.
To me, it was a modern cultural masterpiece. It really was.
We were just saying that every press conference, and I'll include every premiere, should have a mariachi band and
folklorico
dancers.
Yeah.
I can totally agree with that, Benjamin. So, going back to the beginning, I think Lee and Darla, I would like to know how this whole started. How was it, a meeting of Pixar? Or if you could just describe the origin of this story.
Sure. So, Darla and Adrian and I all worked on Toy Story 3 together. And when we finished that film, I started to think about what was next. And I had a few different ideas that I was kicking around. And one of them was the idea of telling a story set against Dia de Muertos. I had always been interested in the tradition, and I spent some time doing some research and really trying to understand more than I already knew. And the more that I dug in, the more that I learned about how central family is to the celebration, and that Dia de Muertos is all about this obligation that we all have to remember our loved ones and to pass their stories along. And I just really started to see the potential to tell a unique story, to tell a story that could only be told in animation, that could be visually dazzling, but also had the potential to have a real emotional core to it. And that was really kind of the beginning of this journey. And we immediately headed down to Mexico and went on the first of what proved to be many lengthy research trips to spend time learning about the traditions, learning about the culture, and spending a lot of time with many beautiful families down in Mexico.
Interesting. Adrian, for you, having a Mexican background, how does it feel to be writing and co-directing this film?
It has been a pleasure. It has been, the highlight of my career up to this point. I started on the film about a year and a half to 2 years into the production. I had finished storyboarding on Monsters University, and it just was one of those ideas that ticked off so many things or checked off the boxes of so many things that I've always wanted to see in a film. It deals so strongly with this idea of family, Miguel and his musical passion, and especially the expression of these Mexican traditions. It's one of those things that I felt like I had a lot of experience to bring to it, and also just the way we work at Pixar, it's such a collaborative effort, and to be able to work with all of these actors, all of these musicians, and to really bring to life this culture on screen was something that I was thrilled by.
Interesting. You were mentioning Miguel, the center of this story, and Miguel is voiced by Anthony González. It's so interesting that this is your first film. Darla's clapping, sure, we can all clap. I would like to know what...
I'm his movie mom.
Sure. What the most memorable experience for you has been through it all?
Oh, well, I just really loved the making of it. I loved being with Lee, Darla, and Adrian in the booth and other people. And it was just so much fun because it was very easy for me because I had the guidance of them three, and it was like a breeze for me. And it was just so much fun doing the voice of Miguel.
I read that he, while he was recording the voices, at some point he said, I would like to sing to you. If you could please tell that story.
That was at Anthony's first audition when he was 10. You're 13 now, yeah?
Yes.
And thankfully his voice didn't start changing until after we finished the movie. Yeah,
it was hormones.
At his very first audition, you know, we had him read a bunch of scenes, script pages, and then when we were all done, he took out a CD and he said, I brought a song I want to sing to you. And at that point, we didn't even know if Miguel was going to be singing in the movie, so that wasn't part of the audition. And unfortunately, we didn't have a CD player that day where we were. So Anthony, true to his great spirit, just said, oh, well, whatever, I'll just sing it a cappella. And he launched into this beautiful, like 10-minute long, sweet rendition of this song, sung just to the few of us. And, you know, we were already wowed by his audition, and then that just really sealed the deal.
I was going to say, that's what sealed the deal, definitely, right?
Yep.
Okay. Then Miguel meets up with a very interesting character in the day in the land of the dead, Hector, voiced by Gael Garcia Bernal, who, by the way, Gael, just with your voice, the whole performance is amazing. The voice and the animation just pair up flawlessly. What was that like for you to be a part of this movie that is so close to Mexican culture, but also that represents a challenge in just using your voice?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it is such a privilege to be here. I mean, to be now, right now, talking to you, to be talking about the movie, to know the result of it, because it is always an act of faith, in a way, no? I mean, and then you get invited to when I got the invitation to meet with Lee, with Adrian, and with Darla, and talk about the movie, I remember how already I was so convinced about it, you know, before going into the meeting with them. And after the meeting, I was just amazed by the amount of research, the incorporation, the kind of like the holistic kind of approach that they were trying to do to the Day of the Dead celebration, that they were also putting forth a very personal point of view as well, which ultimately personal point of views are what make a movie good, you know, is what makes a movie good, and I was willing to jump into that trip, you know, and to interpret that point of view, and now with the results, I'm just, you know, it has transcended all my expectations, and this is what happens when the film becomes good as well. But there's nothing you can expect that will match a result when the film is good. It just overcomes it, you know. It's impressive. So, I mean, I'm really happy for, I'm proud and lucky to be part of this with all this great team, with all this collaborative effort. Me being a little part of it. Being able to put forth as well into the world a very, you know, story, a little fable about a mythology and you know, a tradition that I hold very dearly, like the Día de Muertos, and that very proud as well that Mexico can give this to the world, you know, and everyone in the world can adopt this tradition, this reflection on death. You know, which is a very, very important thing to do, I think, in life.
Definitely. Interesting. Benjamin, the voice of Ernesto de la Cruz is very particular, and the whole character by itself, it's so special. And a little bird told me that you drew some inspiration from a family member. Is that correct?
Yeah, the first inspiration you draw from is the image that they create. You know, as actors, we don't have the benefit of performing with one another. It's a very kind of isolating experience to be in a booth with only three other people in the room and with Lee giving you the lines. I mean, most of what we try to do is create something organic through action and reaction. So with just this to work with, you have to pull on all kinds of other things. So I start with the images they created, and clearly this guy, even in a skeleton form, he's got swagger, you know? So it's easy to kind of adopt that idea principally, but beyond that, Lee and Adrian and Darla pointed me in the direction of studying some of the movie clips of Pedro Infante and Jorge Negrete. These were film stars and music stars in the equivalent strata of someone like Frank Sinatra, guys who were as beloved and as admired for their singing prowess as they were for their acting chops. And there's plenty of footage to be found on YouTube, and so I studied that quite a bit. But beyond that, to your question, my own father, who's now deceased, and who I lost touch with many years before he passed on, I lived with him in some very formative years, from 12 to about 17. And although he was quite a bit different than who Ernesto de Cruz is, he was larger than life, 6'3", massive frame, broad shoulders, and a booming voice, and the kind of person that no matter which room he walked into, he commanded attention. And sometimes by saying the wrong things, I'll say that much, but nonetheless, it was the kind of thing that I could draw on because it was familiar to me. So in that way, that was kind of like the linchpin for me with all this other stuff, to create someone that enjoyed that adulation, not only enjoyed it, but actually used it as his life's blood.
Interesting. Mr. Edward James Olmos, you have it's a brief role, but a significant one, because it sort of sets up some of the rules of the land of the dead, and in a character that's not necessarily in its best stage. What was that like for you to play that character?
It was, you know, when they invited me to come up, Lee and Darla had invited me to come up to Pixar, and they said that they were doing this film and they wanted me to inform me about it and ask me my opinion about it. And they were so incredibly respectful of the material that they were working with that immediately it transcended into understanding on my part. And when they asked me to play the role, I was privileged. I mean, this became a real honor, because that character is what the story is. I mean, every single person in the room that's seen that movie understands very well that what it means is, if you don't remember your loved ones, they're gone. If you don't tell the stories of that loved one, they cease to exist. And it was that simple. And so when I ended up, they asked me to do it, I said, of course, it'd be my honor. And so we went ahead and did it. But I didn't read the script. They didn't hand me the script. They'd never give me.
Adrian wasn't done with it yet.
You know, nobody, you know, they told me the story, but they never gave me any of the information that the story really projected, other than the fact that this young boy wanted to be a singer and his family wasn't supporting him, and he ends up inside of this world. And so with that, I mean, I went ahead and I did it, and this was, God, 2 years ago? How long ago did we record this? I mean, yeah. It had to have been at least 2 years ago. Yeah. They've been working on this for 6 years. You know, and so 2 years ago I did this, and here, lo and behold, I go see the piece. On Monday I saw it, actually, because I had to do press with you, all of you, and I didn't know, I hadn't seen the movie, so I said, how can I do press if I don't know what I'm talking about? So they had a screening over at Disney, where my offices are, and I walked in and I sat down, and I was the maybe two Latinos in the entire room. They were, you know, all of the people who I guess work at Disney, it's the studios themselves, and they were all sitting there. They're kind of jaded people, you know. They're like, you know, you can tell by body language that, you know, they were kind of tired. They were, you know, sitting there waiting and waiting. And then the movie started, and an amazing feeling came across immediately. The quality was superb, the feeling, the music, the sound, everything. Performances were extraordinary. And as it went along, and then my part came in, and I said, oh my God, I felt emotional for this guy. And Chicharron became, within a matter of a minute and a half to 2 minutes, became someone that I could identify with, you know, a relative, a friend, a person. And I said, wow. And then, boom, when he leaves, I was like, Miguel, where did he go? You know, and the answer that Hector gives him is right on. He said, well, nobody's thinking about him anymore, and he's disappeared and he's gone. And where'd he go? I don't know. And none of us do. So then the story started to evolve, and by the time it got to the end, I was in heaving sobs. And harsh, heaving sobs, you know, like one of those kind of things that not only is pride taken over because I am Mexican, full-blooded on everybody's side, not only am I a person who has been inside of this industry for over 50 years, not only have I really tried to understand myself inside of this art form, but this really became something really profound. And so what ended up happening is that I looked around immediately, because I was in the last chair in the back, and I looked around, and you know, these people were all crying. Everybody was like so intensely just trying to hold on to it, and wiping their faces and holding on and watching the movie. I said, hell, this thing just hit everybody like a ton of bricks. Remember, I didn't know anything, and you didn't know anything, so you sat there and watched the story unfold, and the brilliance of it was the real beauty of the storytelling, profoundly. Adrian, you know, Carla, Darla, incredible for me. And it hit me with really hard, like it hit most people. And I got to tell you, this thing, and I told Lee this yesterday, and I told Darla too, and we were standing in there taking photographs. I said, you have no idea what you've done. You won't know for like 15 or 20 years. It's going to take that long for it to resonate throughout the planet and really take hold of what art does to people and the subconscious mind and what it does. I mean, people who have never are going to see this movie are going to come out really moved, especially if you haven't thought about your parents or you haven't thought about your loved ones, if you haven't really gotten into your own family and you've been too busy living your life that you haven't gone back to even say thank you. You haven't been even to maybe the cemetery where they've been buried now for 30 years or 20 years or however long they've been away from you. You know, when's the last time you visited your great-great-grandmother's burial site? You know, that's a touchy situation there, Ed. Right. Most of us don't even know who they are because the stories weren't passed on. And then, so they're going to walk out. They're going to feel an emptiness. And they're going to try to fill that emptiness with the knowledge of what they just got. So they're going to investigate and move forward. That's why I'm so grateful. I mean, 6 years ago, you didn't know that we'd be politically in the shape that we're in. Nobody did. Nobody knew that Mexicans were going to be like treated like they've been treated over the last year. Nobody. The last 2 years have been very difficult for us, and it's hard not to come about and have an attitude. So, but you know, you try to stay strong, knowing that the pendulum swung one way, it's going to swing back. And when it does, it'll have a different reaction, and we'll have another sense of who we are and the changes. This thing placed us in a very strong position for the future. People are going to say thank you to the Mexican culture for introducing them to a value that they did not know anything about. We celebrate, you know, Halloween. Hello? That's how we celebrate the Day of the Dead. We dress up and, you know, we go out and we trick-or-treat, you know, and think about that versus what the Day of the Dead really represents for many of us, which is a time to celebrate in the memory of and pass the stories on and celebrate life at its fullest. So I am, as Chicharrón, doing the one scene. It's one of my proudest moments in the art form.
Thank you, guys. Great.
Edward was mentioning how he cried during the movie. I wanted to know if the cast members and the directors, how many times you've cried during the movie, if you cried.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not telling.
That means he did.
Waterworks,
Alana?
Waterworks. I was sitting in between my husband and my mother, and I told my mother that I had a surprise for her because she used to sing La Llorona to me when I was a little girl in order to make me go to sleep. La Llorona will put you to sleep if you don't go to sleep. No. That's another story, but I kept telling her, I have this surprise for you. And she said, oh, I can't wait, I love surprises. And so the lights dim and she's watching it. And she sees Coco, the abuela, for the first time. And she says, ay, yo, Alana, you're Coco. I'm like, no, Mom, watch it. I watched her cry like 3 times. And then Miguel is finally introduced. Ay, Alana, you're Miguel. The voice of Miguel. I'm like, no, Mom, keep watching. And finally, La Llorona came on, and it was just waterworks.
I mean, there is. It's been so different. The moments that people have you know, connected with something. I heard a lot of people in Mexico crying as soon as La Llorona comes in, you know, as soon as the music of La Llorona comes in. Yeah, just because of the notion of seeing La Llorona sang in an animation in such a beautiful context, you know, it's just, for some people, it was like a sublimation of a very profound song that all of a sudden exists in that format, and you just, I don't know, it confronts you with what you've lived whilst listening to that song, you know, and there were people that cried there. There were people that cried when the Dante becomes an alebrije. I don't know. And there were maybe other obvious points where I also like.
Well, I'm pretty sure that.
I think it was very important for Pixar to make a movie like this because what they did was, if anything, they painted such. I mean, they did so beyond my expectations, obviously, to quote Gael. But they painted such an exquisite portrait of the afterlife. And so you can only hope that my son, who's 12 weeks old, when he's old enough to understand this movie, he can walk away saying, Mama, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of the afterlife. What a beautiful world this would be if the afterlife was like this. Could you imagine? And also that they really did pay such respect to the one quality that Latin families, Latin American families, have across, and that is the importance of familia. And that is something that no presidents or borders or politics can ever break, that importance, the importance of familia.
Yes, I've been saying this a lot, but I really have to stress it over and over again, because I mean, if I have to do a very personal dedication, this film is for the kids, the Latino kids growing in the United States, because in the official narrative, it's been said that their parents or grandparents or great-grandparents are rapists, murderers, drug traffickers, and these kids are being born in a moment of huge, complete fear, and they have to fight against a lie. And it's very complicated to argument against a lie, you know. And this film, or this expression, amongst with many other forms of expression that happen day to day, you know, it's gonna give kids a way to feel confident of where they come from, of where their parents, great grandparents, grandparents come from, to know that they come from a very sophisticated culture, to know that they have the possibility to always. Have access to that hive, to that, you know, to that colmena of life, and that they can come up with new answers to what's needed in life that we as humanity need right now. So it would be for them. It would be. I mean, this is my. Nero, you asked about what for Latino kids. No, like I think this would be. Thing I would say, you know, I mean, this film opens up that discussion, and it is a beautiful reflection on death and a celebration of life.
Well, guys, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today, but thank you so much for coming. Thank you, guys. A round of applause to them. Don't forget that Coco opens on Thanksgiving. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.